YPG's Desert Rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired Yuma Proving Ground employees of decades-long service.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Lieutenant Colonel Rob Rutledge originally enlisted in the Marine Corps Infantry in 1968. After serving in Vietnam and receiving a Purple Heart, he began his Marine Corps aviation career piloting UH-1 Huey helicopters in 1975. His last active duty station after nearly 30 years in uniform was at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, where he first heard of jobs as a civilian pilot at Yuma Proving Ground. How familiar were you with Yuma Proving Ground while you were stationed at MCAS Yuma?
I was probably more familiar with them when I was first here in 81. I did search and rescue at Yuma, so I dealt with the YPG a little bit more because we covered some of your issues out there from time to time. But, you know, they'd call us when they had an issue and they needed some like SAR work, and we'd go out and do it for them. Wasn't a big deal. It wasn't very often, you know, maybe, you know, three or four times a year was about all. And then I was here from 93 to 96 as the station admin officer, and you know, I didn't keep track much of what YPG was doing other than, you know, what I read in the paper. And then I kept track of them a little bit more when I was in the XO. And then I decided, you know, when Limp called me and said, hey, they might have an opening out here, and I was getting close to retirement. And that's when I put in for Sierra and got picked up by Sierra and worked with them for 3 years until I, you know, picked up the government side.
By Limp, you mean Richard Smith. You flew with him when you were in uniform?
Yeah. Yeah. He was the XO and I was S1 for a while. So we flew in the C-12 a little bit.
No, actually, my actual aircraft for flying was the Huey.
You served in Vietnam. Did you fly the Huey in Vietnam?
No, I was in Grunt, Vietnam. I did the walk-in and then got tired of doing the walk-in and decided to fly. I got out of Vietnam. When I got back to Vietnam in 70, I got out in 1 May 70, and then I was out for 5 years and then came back in 75, went to TBS and flight school and everything. Yeah, I was wanting to fly F-4s because I was pretty impressed with their performance in Vietnam and what they did. But when I got to flight school, a lot of the instructors in flight schools come from all different realms of both Navy and Marine Corps. So you get to talk to a lot of guys that did, you know, a lot of different flying. And then So when I talked to a lot of the jet guys, I found out they didn't get a whole lot of time. And, you know, when you get up at 15, 20,000 feet, when you're going 500 knots, you have no concept of speed. And I guess my heart was still with the grunts. And so I thought I wanted to stay low and fly helicopters and support the grunts. And, you know, I found out flying a Huey at 100 knots, you know, 20 feet off the deck was a little bit more thrilling.
When you flew at YPG, you were flying primarily in support of test missions. What kind of test missions did you support?
We did a lot of when they reprogrammed the software for the Apache, we'd go out and film a lot of their sheets and stuff to, you know, to put it on film to see how it went. I did a lot with Depp Ho and the Excalibur, you know, chasing rounds and stuff. That was always pretty interesting. But the thing that I really liked about the test support with the Huey was, you know, you had customers would come in and they'd have a certain parameter or something that they wanted to try to do, or, and they weren't sure how to do it. And they actually had us come in the meetings a lot more and say, okay, this is what we're trying to achieve. How can you help us, you know, when you're flying a Huey? And so with, you know, our knowledge of what the Huey could do and what we could do, we could give them some ideas of how they could utilize us. So it was sort of fun to, you know, figure out some of the stuff they wanted to do and how we could do it.
You flew some high-profile visitors along the way too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We did a lot of range support overflights and stuff. And, yeah, we flew. I've got a number of different coins from 2 and 3 stars that we flew. But they gave us coins when we flew, so it was good.
It was always interesting with me when we flew, because usually it was Pat Franklin that went along as the narrator, and that guy knows so much about YPG. Every time I flew with him and he would narrate to the guest, I'd always learn something new about YPG just from him.
You did some flights for NASA testing too along the way, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a lot of filming for when they did the NASA drops testing the parachutes and the opening sequences that they used, you know, to slow down the capsule. And so we would have guys on board with the computers, and they would plot all the different chutes and where they were probably going. And we got guys taking pictures to see how they, you know, deployed. So usually there was a C-12 or a different plane higher than we could, you know, to catch the stuff coming out of the C-130. But we were down there probably at the 8,000, 6,000 foot range to catch it as it came through down there, and the different chutes started opening. So yeah, that was pretty interesting. And I think the most fascinating flight profile that I worked with on out there quite a bit was the brownout testing they did. And I had a lot of input in that as to how we could do it and be safe about it. And so, yeah, there was one day we were out there in the area doing the takeoff and landings as they're, you know, using the equipment to see what could be seen through the dust and everything. And I did two tanks of gas and almost 100 landings in one day in the sand. I was pretty dirty.
And flying in degraded visual environments is very dangerous for a pilot.
Well, you know, it's what we learned in flight school and how to do it. And they ask, well, how can you come down if we kill up this dirt and make it real fine, and so that we can really simulate brownout conditions? And, you know, we did the same thing for whiteout conditions in snow, is we would have eye color sandbags painted to line up about every 10 feet in the middle. So, and then we have a bunch of sandbags at the very front part that looked like an arrowhead that funneled us to that middle part. So as we got lower and we would lose, you know, our actual concept of the ground, we'd pick up those sandbags through the chin bubble, and then we'd be okay as far as knowing how high we are and where we were before we landed.
The UH-1s were very beloved by the pilots here in support of the test mission. Was it hard to see them finally retired?
Yes, I did. I was very sad to see them retired. In fact, the fact they retired the Furies, and they wanted to send me, I forget where, for record or somewhere, for 10 to 12 weeks to learn how to fly the Black Hawk that was coming in. I thought, I'm not going to be around long enough to make that worth my while. So I thought, the Hughes are gone, I'm gone. So that's what prompted me to probably put in my papers and say, yeah, let's go. Time to go.
I know you retired, but you didn't slow down in the community. You're involved in an awful lot. You're with the Caballeros de Yuma and other things. What are you doing these days?
Yeah, I mainly did stuff with them until, you know, I got a little bit older and a little bit wearier. And then I had, you know, basically I'm a lifetime member. So I only have to do what I want to do, you know. So I'll volunteer sometimes for doing stuff at Midnight Oasis or the Bloom Festival or, you know, stuff like that. But I don't attend a lot of meetings anymore and stuff, because I had over 20 years and I had over the 100 points that I needed to go life. And that life just means you're there and you can do what you want. And then I did a lot of refereeing. I did football, volleyball, and softball, you know, at high school level. And that was a lot of fun. But when COVID kicked in and things really started to change and there was time off and all this, and I got out of it, you know, it was like 2 years before they really started back up. And I just felt, yeah, I'm out of that too. So I stopped that. And then one other thing I did for a while was I volunteered to help coach the handicap golfers.
You chose to stay in Yuma after you retired from uniform. You must like it quite a bit.
Well, it was interesting. You know, I came here in 81, did search and rescue, and we really liked Yuma, although it was only like the third place we had been stationed, you know, after going to flight school and then going to New River, North Carolina. And then we got here, and it was really nice community then. A lot smaller, very friendly. So we had a chance to come back here, and I took it. And that's the whole thing. Other than my enlisted time, for my officer time, I probably flew for, that was 27. So I probably flew for 25 out of the 27 years. So, you know, I had fun doing it. And then I came out, I got lucky and came out to YPG and was able to keep flying and didn't have to move. And that was a sweet thing. So I finished my flying career with a little over $12,000.
Do you still keep up with YPG these days?
Oh, yeah. I read your article in the paper all the time now. Yeah, it keeps me up to abreast what's going on. They do something, you do some still doing neat stuff out there, I'll tell you. And that's what I was amazed with when I got out there and started working out there as to how much I didn't know that YPG did do. And it was impressive, the workload that they had out there when it didn't seem like much from this side.
Hey, Colonel, it's really good talking to you today.
Anytime, Mark, anytime.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.